So we're going to follow up what we just read. And I'm going to hand this to my brother Dan, who has been in this assembly the longest. I first met you in 79. So I'm going to ask you, what is the Lord communicating or saying to you as you hear these messages on prophet, priest, and king?
I kind of think, for me, and it probably has to do with capacity, those last two chapters are probably the most compact presentation that I've heard in a very long time. And I'm sure it has to do with maybe a little bit more of my eyes being opened. But while we were going through chapter 7, it's like all of my life was nothing up to this point. It's like, oh my gosh. Of course, I'm glad we had chapter 8 to be reminded of the fact. And I was just thinking about the fact that so much of the time, I just confess my life is lived in unbelief. You know, and I don't even realize it until we read something like this. I was furious with the Lord yesterday. Here I am trying to do things that make it better, and I was just furious because, of course, it stopped me when I had this little accident yesterday. And then I thought about today, and I thought how little my faith is. And here I am, mad at God because of the circumstances, instead of looking beyond the circumstance to Him. And just the whole message, of course, that Eric has to say, and this last chapter 8. There is the reality of the littleness of my whole life up to this point. But thank God for the reality of the fact that in Him I am complete. And it is finished. And just to look beyond these circumstances and know they are only stepping stones to the end, which will be the full manifestation of all that which God has done in Christ already. This is glorious. Very, very glorious.
Diamond, what do you come away with?
Firstly, for myself, it just kind of makes me feel that much smaller. And so when I'm looking at it, you know, just okay, Lord, you know, for me, I realize that in and of myself, I really have nothing to give. And so for my life and lived here and so forth, that I, over the years here and continuing on, realizing to somehow to have that the only thing that's kept me going is the faith in believing that I am His child, that He does care, and that He has provision for me. And when I look around me at times, I understand and I see that provision, and I also see the turmoil at times. But I know, as I hear, so as far as my understanding and capacity is how to live that out, I guess what's been zeroing on me is to try to, my prayer has always been to God, You need to show me how Your life is supposed to be lived out in me. Because I don't have much of fancy words or anything to be able to express that. So I'm just looking to You on that, and then on chapter 8 here, on that last, those last number of paragraphs, to me, those are just, you know, that I stand in to His principles and stand into His provision, and that which is inadequate of me and of myself, then God can override that in His superior wisdom and is made to serve Him to the very end. And that's the basic goal that I have, is just to continue on trusting and believing that whatever He brings my way, and in the reading and so forth, that I'm entrusting Him to build and to grant and to be given that place of capacity to continue to grow in Him. And that's kind of basically where I'm at with this now.
And I noticed there was a number of exclamations coming from you, so you're next.
Yeah, so what were you responding to?
Well, my heart is really beating. You know, I'm reading chapter, meeting this 7 and 8. All I can do is just worship the Lord. And really, just what He's done in the last 7.5 years. I mean, you guys saw me. I was an absolute maniac moving here from Tulsa. Just literally beside myself with, what the hell are you doing, God? I was just pissed off, to put it bluntly. And just seeing, is there anything good going to come out of this? Anything good? You know, Doug just kept honing in, you know, stand by faith. I know. It's like, you have no idea. And so just seeing now God's marvelous way of teaching me. I mean, exhausting out of the flesh. You had to work in me, exhausting out of the flesh. You know, I tried everything I can with these two lovely ladies here, exhorting, pleading, everything in my flesh. And finally, God says, well, why don't you keep your mouth shut? Ooh, that's hard. Lord, that's impossible. I can't do that. Well, that's right. But I can. Let me do the work. All right. That was new. Letting God do something. Whoa. All right, so God, what do you want to do? Keep your mouth shut and let me and pray. Stand on this lentil patch and you pray. And you let me. All right, I'll prove you God. I don't care what happens, but God, you have got to have your rights right here at 215 Haddon. I don't care what anybody else thinks of me, what happens, I claim you right here, right now. And standing, and continue to stand until things start shaking. Things start, little earthquakes, little things, boom, boom, boom. You know, things start shaking. Well, enter comes Diane. Oh, God, what are you doing here? It's like, all right, Lord, I have absolutely nothing.
No capacity.
Yeah. I mean, there was absolutely nothing in me. And there still is nothing in me. Still is nothing. I mean, if there's anything I've learned, well, Lord, it's got to be you. So what do we do? Now, all right, what do I do? Well, this is what I know so far. These impossible things come across our path. Wow, what do we know now? There's something more of a greater value that's going to come out on the other end if it's impossible. So let's rejoice. And so Diane and I, you know, we began to learn. All right, we're going to stand in by faith. He's going to open up a door. And He does. And we, you know, we talked about this, how God has opened up doors. And it just absolutely, we get up to this wall of whatever it is, a wall of opposition. God brings us through. It seems impossible. We're going to be absolutely crushed under the weight of it. And then it's impossible. No. We stand by faith because it's God and His testimony. We're going to go through to the very end until the other side. And we continue to do that until this very day. To this very day, even this week. Oh my gosh. Crushing, couldn't sleep one night. It's like, okay, God, I'm willing. What do we do? I'm going to go under this. And, Lord, there's something more. What does it continue to shake? Whatever's here in our midst, continue to shake until you continually pray the last few weeks. Shake it, Lord. I'm going to enter in. What do you want of me? Enter into this. And then something comes through on the other end. And so this is, I'm rejoicing in what God and who He is and what He does. Through just a tiny little bit of faith. Now, obviously, I'm not perfect. I mean, you see me. Even today, you're like, all right, well, who's going to build here? I'm like, don't see me. I mean, there's that automatic recoil of the flesh of, all right, Lord, I'm willing. And so keep, you know, just, Lord, all right. And so I was just thinking about this even those last few weeks of what does God do in his principle? He takes whatever he has done, everything up to this point, and then what's he do? He takes the full thing, the full enchilada. I mean, he doesn't leave anything left. I mean, all that which we think is of fruit, all that which we think is resurrection, all that we think is life, and then he takes the whole thing and sows it in the ground. You know, my flesh wants to say, well, let's hang on to this little bit of life here. No. That's got to go in the ground too. Why? So it can grow into even a bigger measure of what Christ wants to do. So we have a dear sister coming from in August that's going to come live with us. I think, okay, Lord. Okay. Okay, Lord. It's going to be sown. Something's going to be sown deep into death. And I don't say that frivolous, because this is God's way. This is his way. It's his principle. And if we can really understand what God does, then there's a greater revelation, a greater release of what he is doing. Because, you know, listening to even Ludi yesterday is like, you know, I want 4 people evangelized today to come to Christ. Oh, I don't have that faith. Maybe 1 a year, you know. But even if 1 a year, I don't know. So it's like, all right, Lord, where is my faith? I mean, it's not up to me. It's up to the Lord. It's up to the Lord, and what does he want? Am I available to him to vindicate? What does he want? And so, all right, Lord. It's you wanting to do something through me. What do you want to do through me? Because I can't. I could exhaust myself in my flesh and then end up flat on my back, sick as a dog, you know, because we're trying. But unless God does the work, how many times do we say that? Those words aren't cheap. They're not cheap. It comes truly as well through a holiness as a consecration of a life too, of saying, all right, Lord, my life is yours. Even I mean, Diane, we can pray that today. Okay, Lord, our life is yours. What do you want to do today through our life? I don't want to resist you in anything. So that's fun to rejoice in what sparks is. I mean, bring that this now down into this so he can bear life.
Anyone else? I'll leave it open. Anyone else? What registered? Good.
I hope I can talk without crying.
Well, you don't. You can cry and talk.
I'm done by this.
Yes.
So
see, I think that is the response. I'm done by this. That is the only effect.
I just, you know, chapter 7, just the glorious calling of the church, we as his people, and not in doctrine, but in our very, very lives. You know me, as long as you've known me, I've always talked about I want it, it's got to be practical. It's got to translate out into everyday life. And God's put me in the perfect situation to take me to the next level of constitution, of seeing his life formed. And I confess, I've just been under terrible assault. I mean, I just can't get up on top, you know. It's like this, the constant bombardment of accusations and all, and I fight through, but I just can't say I've been victorious. And then you get to chapter 8, and where he's talking about it's all in Christ. He's done it all. We just enter into him. And the enemy, when he can't find those, you know, like before, I was just fully called active. I've gone out serving Satan. Then I get to this point, and there's still plenty of flesh here, so God's just dealing with that flesh and still some of the little fragments of separation internally in my spirit, you know, just filling things in. But I can't even tell you the last 6 weeks, and this isn't about Erica, this is about what the enemy has been doing against me, like assaulting me. And Ivan has done spiritual warfare, but today I could see that I need to stand into who I am in Christ. Because I know my weaknesses. I know where I'm a mess.
And the
adversary knows it too. And boy, does he like to rub it in my face. You know, look at you, what a mess you are. Look how you handled that situation. Look at this and look at that. And I am so encouraged and undone by chapter 8. Just who, standing into who I am in Christ. That's all I can say for now.
This is my third time through this. You know, I've been talking about this for several weeks now because I've read it. It's probably about 6 weeks ago. But I've been going through it more. And I knew I had to have this under my belt for the next step. I just, you know, I knew it wasn't a reality for me yet, but I knew the Lord was preparing me, I believe, because this was really impacting me. And I knew I had to see this. And so I think there's still more that has been, you know, I'm dealing with in the dissociative realm, so that's why I'm being careful to talk, you know, because I know things are still settling out, but just...
We had a prayer time yesterday. This is.
And I don't know what to say. But talking, just what Connie said, and I had underlined this, just what you were kind of saying, that paragraph, that is just what the enemy wants to do. He constantly reminds us that we are what we are in ourselves and the hopeless state that we are in, the hopeless mess that we are, to try to get us to accept the suggestion that we're going to fall by the way and not going to get through. And talk about attack. It's God's sight. We are already through. And I think it was the night before, yesterday was Saturday, so it was Friday night, that I really woke up in the state of the spiritual stonings that I've been talking about in Jerusalem. And, I mean, I woke up in it. I could hear all the voices. I could hear all the curses. I could hear all this, and it was going to drop me back into new birth. And I couldn't even open my eyes. I was so afraid that I was going to be in hell if I opened my eyes. And so when I came out of that, I called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I could open my eyes. And so a lot of things are coming together. Let's just say a lot of things, and I feel like I'm still letting that come together. And but laying hold of this, like last night, some of those thoughts were coming back in as I was falling asleep, those same thoughts. And we talked about the Lord, you know, being my Father, because I'm kind of seeing dropping down in the culmination of some things. And during the attack last night, I picked up the message from the Father, you know, and all the verses that he's laid out there of who we are in Christ. And Christ is our Father. And I just said, okay, it's Father's Day. And I want to be fully here for you, my Father. And it's kind of like reading that out loud. But I felt such an assault going on against me, both inside and out, you know, but I felt like a lot of it has been coming towards me, too. But it's just, as I was reading that to him and just standing into that, because all through this, it's just like, stand, Susanna, stand. Mm-hmm. And so when I picked that up and I started standing into that as to, this is who I am, a daughter of the Most High. And he was just bringing some things together that were still separated, I think, between myself as Susanna and Susan. And by the time I got through, we'll see the fruit of it. he just said, "You're home. You're home with me." So, but that's what these chapters have been for me. And, you know, they will continue to be until he has that.
I think the bottom line with these two chapters, all the chapters, is it's all about him. Mm-hmm. And the faith apprehension of him. Mm-hmm. And I think what he said about using the enemy to train us, we can say, praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God. What better instrument could he use than SRADID? And, of course, he didn't know SRADID. Brother Sparks knew something else in wrestling with the enemy. But the enemy was used in his life. The failures and the assaults. And it's not even about us. It is about Jesus Christ. When he talked about living Holy Spirit union with Christ. That we are in union with that one, that God-man that has run the race, finished the course. And I love what he said, that the very fact there's a man enthroned means we will get through. Mm-hmm. That every day must be our reality. As long as we are keeping our eyes on ourselves or occupied, you know, there or with others, we still need to see him more, right? Because he is there. This is reality. And I think it's just through the struggles we finally get there, because I think we just finally get miserable enough. Yeah, where it's like, I don't want to live in this low realm anymore. When the fact is, and that's what Eric is so great about presenting, the fact. Because when we live in the earth realm of emotions, circumstances, who we are, all that, the Lord has made provision through Jesus Christ, through his death, our death with him, his burial, our burial, resurrection, our resurrection in him, and seated with him right now. So, you know, the Lord is so very patient, isn't he? Because, I mean, just imagine his heart and how long he's waited to see us finally believe what he has declared to be true. And what it cost the Son so much. And how do you end this whole thing about the sacrifice? He is in his victory there as king because of the priestly work of the blood of the Lamb. It's all based on sacrifice. It's all based on this wonderful one, so loved that he gave. If he did that, I should have no doubt, mm-hmm, about his love for me, about his love for each person on the face of this earth. And wouldn't that be the motivating factor to witness? Mm-hmm. You know, if we just were to keep these things, hide them in our hearts. But still, I know that as much as we can be pursuing him and the Lord has me in this season of life, I can still sin against him, and I do it of my own will. I do it because that self is still wanting something and I had to confess, Lord, you know, I didn't, when I did that, Lord, I wasn't really caring about you. And I confess that, and I know I'm forgiven, but the fact is, it goes completely contrary against what you've been doing in my life. And I really didn't care. And that's me. And so, I mean, to be that, you know, we have to be brutally honest with the Lord. Because he's there for us, and he's here. He lives in us, and he's being grieved so much and squelched and by, you know. But he says, if we go on with the Lord, we shall all come into the secrets of the Lord. And to come into the secrets of the Lord is to be put in a very strong position. Secrets, union with him. Union, he's one. I mean, first of all, I'm one with him. He's here. He's He is in me. He is one with me. He will never leave me or forsake me. And it's out of that union that has been bought with such a great price that we can give our all. We can be wholly His. It means that there is something there, the strong position, that Satan cannot overthrow. He can overthrow a lot of things, but he cannot overthrow what is wrought of God. And I'm not trying to challenge anything you said, Doug, but I thought differently than you did when you said, yeah, he backs down, he's a coward. I thought to myself, no, he's not a coward. He just can't handle Jesus Christ.
I'll guarantee you, he is a fearful creature in the presence of Jesus Christ.
But I just took it one step further and thought,
okay.
Yeah.
But I do not change my statement.
Okay.
I've seen him.
Yes.
I've
back down.
Him.
He backs down because of who the Lord Jesus is.
Yeah.
I like better the fact that it's about Jesus Christ.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And Christ enthroned declares God's purposes cannot be finally frustrated. And yet look at what he allows his people to go through. You know, and you know, especially people like Saeed and martyrdom, but you know what? He's still refining. He's refining Saeed. Saeed didn't go there into prison as a man probably whole, complete, lacking in nothing. But he's being made that.
Yeah.
So the Lord has permission. The Lord put us in this ministry, and you guys went through what you did. Well, so, you know, this is the way it goes. This is life, and it is something that God says, I have it all in hand. But talking about putting our feet firmly on the facts. There is no such thing as a division from the divine side between the head in heaven and the members on earth. And that must make his heart the most grieved, is that there is in our lives such a division, such a contradiction. When, what he's done to bring us into union with himself is a for sure thing. If we hold on to that, then we are indestructible. That Satan cannot do anything to pull Christ down from his throne. Yeah, okay. So this was absolutely phenomenal. And if we would have no capacity for this if we had not been baptized into this death. Mm-hmm. But to go forth from this day on knowing that death has been overcome and that Jesus is on his throne. That those aren't just cheap words.
And we never change.
And we don't. No, we don't change.
Is this first? How many of you, this is the first time you've heard this? Well, if you go back and read it again before next week, you will hear that which you never heard today. Guaranteed. Yeah, guaranteed. Yes.
I guess, too, I was thinking, when Sparks in chapter 8 talks about if Balaam could have depicted Israel according to Israel's own natural colors, he could have gone the whole length in cursing Israel. But because he was compelled to depict Israel according to God's thought in virtue of the blood and the spirit, there was no place for a curse. And he had to come to the point where he said, and the shout of a king is among them. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about everyone, sometimes it's like, and you probably go through a lot worse than I ever do, because I don't have a whole lot of interaction with people who are working through DID. But it's like, you can see this person, you're like, look, and you probably went through it with me. It's like it doesn't change. They're just not, you know, it's just so frustrating. It's like, what is God doing? It's not nothing. It feels like it doesn't, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, but what does it mean to see that person, even though they're driving me insane at this moment, to see them not in their own natural color, but in what God has already done for them? And so as you work with that girl today, you can be like, look, it doesn't stop, it's just whatever. But no, not to see her in her own natural colors, but in but in the fact that there's a shout of the King in her. And every person, and so when maybe even sometimes when my thoughts are like in praying, or it's like instead of that focus being shifted, focused on the enemy or whatever he is currently doing in and through this person, no, there is a shout of a King and proclaiming the victory that is already won, even though we might not be able to see it fully manifested here in this moment in the person who is sitting in front of us. And so I thought about that, and it was kind of like, oh, yeah. And so instead of just like, because like you've said, it's like instead of, it's like you just reach out and do it, or pray it. It's like, I take you out of the satanic throne in Jesus' name, instead of, Lord, you do this, because he already did it. It's a fact accomplished. And I thought, too, it's like it's seeing that person, all right, not in who they are in Adam, which is whatever it is, but in who they are in Christ. And just what he's already done. It's already an accomplished fact, and he's going to bring them through.
And they need to know what's been done. That's
and they need to know, exactly. And then the other thing I was thinking is when you said, or in here it said, like, the last enemy is death. I think that's the wording of it. And then you mentioned, okay, so with DIDSRA, let's go for the new birth identity where it's held in death. And I thought, I was like, okay, that's true. That's all well and good. But what does that look like worked out in our daily lives? And I thought, I was like, well, and you can, it's like death. So what is death? Well, the grave could not hold Jesus Christ. Why could it not hold him? Because he lived a life in perfect obedience unto God. Because what is death? Whenever I do it of myself, whenever I pick up my own way, whenever I live out from Adam, then I've entered into death. And so I wondered if maybe part of that last enemy being death is not so much the new, that's an application, not so much the new birth, just being sequestered in death, but that am I living in death, or am I living out from life in perfect obedience to the Father? And so every single day, how is that stronghold of death, that last stronghold, being worked out of my life and into life of Christ and living out from him instead of living out from death?
That's community, and that's...
Yeah.
There's the process of living in community where this is actually taking place in the context of a local church.
And so I just was thinking about that. And then I thought, wow. And so, because Jesus Christ defeated the last enemy, which is death, because the grave could not hold him, because he had lived a life of perfect obedience unto God and had been perfected. And so that's just what I was thinking. So, that was all my thoughts.
That's good. Anyone else?
Well, that I feel pretty undone too, but so most likely cry while I'm talking. But I feel pretty undone, and I will most likely cry. And usually, when I cry, my throat constricts and I can't talk, so it'll take a while probably. But at the same time, feeling very encouraged and excited at what the Lord can do. But I think in breaking me, God has... You just have to see what you are in your flesh sometimes. You don't get occupied with that and stay there and get stuck in it, but just finding out who you are and what your grooves are and how I'm utterly unable to overcome things in myself. So there are two issues that the Lord... dealt with me this last week, when everything, there was so much pressure the enemy comes in, and with me, one of the grooves is to start getting picky and getting with Susan. He used Susanna in my life, just over picky, piddly things, getting me occupied. And so I was like, why did she do this? Why did she do that? I was getting crosswise this way. But the Lord finally showed me Friday. What day was it I talked to you about it? I don't remember. Thursday. I think it was Thursday, because I talked to you Friday, and that's one of the things that triggered you into the into the stoning. But the Lord showed me that I was taking the enemy's position against her. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, then I just repented of that. And decided, okay. And it's like, he took me to the woodshed for that. Mm-hmm. He let me get devoured by the enemy. I did. I was being devoured. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, Thursday, I was just like under it. And I'd do warfare, and it wouldn't list. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm just standing here, but being devoured. Mm-hmm. So, and when the Lord showed me that, and I repented of it, it just was lifted, and I had so much more energy, and it's like, whoa, wow. More resources when you're not being occupied with yourself. Mm-hmm. So I just shared that with her, and I was all encouraged because I'd been lifted out of that, and she was like, oh, God, just, you know, I guess that's all I'm good for with my roommates is to draw things up. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I meant to. I was encouraged. She, well, it triggered her into something major, and she got something more of what she needed. But anyway, so then the other thing before, and this morning, I was like, God, please teach me how to abide. I don't know how to do it. So everything today is about that. And when Sally was sharing about what she had to go through in our house, I was crying a little bit. And our friend from Belgium was looking at me and feeling sorry for me. I'm like, no, don't be so sorry. I was weeping because of gratitude.
To the Lord.
Because it took Sally's prayers to bring us out.
Yeah.
So, before everything started, the Lord just brought to my mind this morning, what about the reading? Because that's my other... It's like I... It's like I climb out of one ditch and fall into the other one. I give up one thing and then take up something else. Trying to make myself feel better, apparently, is what I'm thinking doing. But I was watching hours and hours of movies and things, and it's like God, he let me be devoured by that for a while, and it's like, okay, gave that up. And I'll never go there again. I'll never go there again. But, so I gave something else up. I can't remember what it was, but...
Music.
And then I started up Twitter.
Well, not just music. Certain
types of music. And then I started Twitter, and it started... I'm just OCD. Whatever I do all the time, and just like, you know, occupied and sucked into that, and it's like, okay, I'm giving that up. And then it's Pinterest, which is like collecting recipes online, you know, it's like, what other kind of garbage can I be occupied with? So, But probably the last thing, I hope it's the last, probably not. I just love to read. I love to read historical novels and things that are not bad in themselves, but he just said, what about the reading? I'm like, okay. Yeah. Because my time is not my own. And I felt a smile over that. So, anyway, that's just who I am in the flesh. I will seek things to avoid whatever, just to make myself feel better. And the enemy wants to get us. Then, when you come out on the other side, then Satan's like, well, what about this? What about that? What about something? You know, he wants us occupied with our sick, sorry self. That this will never change in me. I cannot. So, I mean, I have quite a bit of self-will, so I think I gave up movies and I gave up a lot of other things just out of self-will. After seeing what it caused me, it has to be painful, or I'm like, okay, I'm never going there again. And with being drawn out towards her, and I'm like, I will never take up, I hope, to never take up the enemy's accusation against my sister, because that was just a painful lesson. It's like, besides. So, in reading chapter 7, I was seeing revelation of things that I hadn't seen before. And it's like, wow. And I felt the Lord whispering. Oh, when you were sharing about Reese Howells, about... each act of obedience defeats the enemy. And that was paraphrased because I can't remember exactly what you said, but it's like, whoa, yes. There's so much more at stake than just, are we going to be obedient or not? It's the enemy is undone with each step.
And it opens the door for more of the Lord.
Right.
That's the positive.
Yeah, so I'm crying, but I'm really very happy about all of this, because I think, you know, I could be occupied with myself and be miserable for the rest of my life, but God has done it. He's done it. And I heard him whispering, what if when you come, he was saying, what if when you come out in ascendancy over and learning to abide, if my sister comes completely free through that. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
amen.
Okay.
That's reality.
Yeah. So, I apologize that I've been holding things up. So, because I have absolutely no idea what's left, if anything is left, dissociative-wise, but I think a great deal of it is just flesh at this point, until the Lord shows me something else.
When you're fully integrated,
and that's enough. I don't know that I'm fully integrated. I mean, I don't know that that's
but
the case.
But you are integrating because you're seeing what you're
well, God has done a lot. Yeah. I mean, Satan keeps bringing that back to me. It's like, oh, what if there's something left and you don't know, and you're just, you know, what if there's, you know, it's like, shut up.
What is it?
I don't think there is. I mean, God hasn't showed it to me, so...
keep on that course, it'll shake whatever it is.
Oh, it gets me stuck and just kind of confused.
Or you keep on the course and say, no, not I with Christ.
Yeah.
That'll manifest it.
Well, I mean, God is utterly for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he, whatever he allows is out of his loving kindness.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thank him for that.
Mm-hmm. Just to add to what you said, I was thinking, was it today we read this or was it last week? But when you said maybe if you are obedient in these things, your sister will come fully out. Because remember what he said, it's the very first page of what we read that reminded that this divine purpose requires that every individual member shall, in due measure, come to the superlative fullness, and that the church as a whole will only reach the divine end as the members recognize that they are responsible individually for the divine purpose and for the realization of the church's calling. So that's it. Yeah. I mean, the church is calling. It's about the body and the head and the body. And so it is. We do not live unto ourselves. We cannot. Well, we do. We can't if we want to go on with God. Yeah. We think about that person we live with, you know, and other people, and you know, where we work and people we see. So it's really, really a very tremendously exciting calling. Mm-hmm. It is just a beautiful and phenomenal calling. You know, we've always been in a lot of heaviness and such, but I believe we're coming out. We're coming out on the other end where life will be not easy, actually impossible, but we're in union with Christ. We're going to see him let loose in the world in which we live, released to the captives. I think that's one thing, and I might say this to you, honey, because when we're ministering to those who are broken, and you're doing the bulk of that, we have to remember some of it is just not going to break until they come to a certain place with the Lord. We cannot do spiritual warfare against those things they're still holding on to.
Against that which is unsanctified.
Unsanctified. And so that's why I think as we continue growing and our lives continue to be just become more and more all the Lord's. Julie, as you're saying this, you picking up some of the ministry in encouraging some of these ladies, having Bible study, you know, with them, just sharing a scripture that meant a lot to you, sharing something out of your own history. This is the building up of the body. Because I think right now it's kind of, you know, even though Doug spends lots of time also building them up, I think for us to come alongside, that when we take somebody on, like our friend in Germany, two in Germany, and the one in Kansas, and South Africa, that it's not just Doug doing it, that we're spending time with them also, building them up, emailing them, you know, however,
Skyping, whatever
that looks like, that, because, you know, we've always felt like when we say yes to a person, we are committing to taking them all the way through, which might be years, but see, they're our body. They're his body. They're members of him. So, like he says, when you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to me. And if the Lord says that to give honor to the most unseemly member, well, how unseemly is it for a person in the body of Christ to be involved in ritual activity and with the enemy and with the Nephilim sons? That's, you can't get more unseemly. It can't be more dishonorable. So if we're to show them the abundant honor, what does that look like?
Any other thoughts? Who? Someone else?
Well, I was just thinking about when Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:18, how important it is, and how much more is it becoming more meaningful to me because God is answering his prayer for me as I hear this, because I think somebody said something about that. Sparks even talked about the fact we can study and do all these things which are most wonderful, most beneficial, and you even spoke to it too, but if the eyes of our heart are not opened, enlightened, it can't have the meaning that it should.
Oh well, I'll just close. Did you have anything? Yeah, go ahead. Oh. Okay. I would say to me as I come away from this is that just the aware that because of its density, that if this is only the first time you heard this, you'll be lucky if you got 10%, even though you may think you got a lot. You could, when you review this, you could review this a year from now. and it will all be new. So I really encourage you that make this a priority to review this. Make it top priority. Because I know when I went through it the first time, I said, this is mandatory for this assembly. And as I'm reading it today, most of what impacted me as to why we should read it, I don't even remember what it was. So it's just the sum of just the this individual who's speaking from such a long history of ministry and experience in the Lord. It was when he was being introduced to the churches in China for the first time that this Chinese brother who invited him to come and speak to the, for the first time, the churches in China, and this at this time it was in Taiwan, which is Formosa back then. And he came there to speak for the first time, and the responsible brother in the church there said, well, who is this brother from England you're inviting? And he said, it's only the Chinese can understand this. He is purified gold and pressed diamond. And they all knew what that meant. They knew what that meant. So the constitution of the outcome of all this is seen in the symbols of the heavenly city, transparent gold. That's the nature of the bride. You see transparent gold. You see precious gems. You see a pearl as the perfected nature of Christ manifest, coming through the city, the bride, this the bride hyphen city. And as you look at the heavenly city there, remember, the bride is first mentioned in Revelation 19 with the destruction of the city of Babylon. You have the bride who's made herself ready, and then after that you have the city mentioned primarily. So we see the city, which is the government and the manifestation and the community. God must first have his bride. And Psalm 45, we see the mention of Jesus Christ coming forth at the second advent to bring victory to his people Israel. And that's mentioned first right there in Psalm 45. Well, therefore, come away. Then he's addressing some unknown bride. And we don't know who that bride is, but it's the bride of the king. Then there are all those that are the attendants to the bridegroom and the bride. And these are Israel. We don't know who the bride is. Well, now we know. It's the church. So prior to Jesus Christ coming back, there must be a people separated unto him so that he can have his bride and then he can return. So just with the revelation of the mystery of Christ, you can go anywhere in the Bible and unlock the key. The key, as we hear from Ludi, is the key to understanding eschatology, soteriology, Christology, theology, whatever, is ecclesiology. It's Jesus. That's true, but it needs to be understood of Jesus as the center of the revelation of the mystery. Because with the revelation of the mystery of Christ, the Christ, Ephesians 3:4, and the mystery of Christ in Colossians 2:3, it's the revelation of the head and the body as the corporate revelation of the fullness of God, and how all of Scripture is pointing towards that. But the Jews only saw an individual Christ; they never saw a corporate Christ. They never saw that. And Isaiah says, "I will not give my glory to another." And yet, Jesus is given his glory to his church, which means that the church is not another heteros of a different kind, but it's allos. It's another of the same kind. And I will send you another spirit, allos, not heteros, allos, another spirit. He's like me in every way,
My name is in him. And the name of my Father is in him. So, you see that in the Word of God. So, I go away with what I went through last night. And because of solstice, I knew there were rituals. So, I woke up around 4, and I was swallowed up in a vortex of spiritual death. And I said, you know what? I submit to whatever this means so that I'll out of it, exonostasis. I do not want to survive. I'm not so much concerned about the spiritual death. And it was a vortex. It was something released last night. And I come out of it today, and I'm not in it. But I thought, well, if I'm experiencing this spiritual death, what in me has not yet died? So I said, I submit, God. I don't care what it is or where it's coming from. Maybe a faint echo of spiritual warfare, but that had already been done. I want everything that will not appear in the resurrection consumed. I want it all gone. And I mean everything. I don't want anything to remain in me in this life that would be consumed in fire at the Bema Seat. In other words, at the Bema Seat, when I pass through that fire, I want it. There's no smoke of Adam. It's just gold, silver, precious stones, and there's no smell of fire coming out of that. So, I too am very grateful for this, and looking forward to reviewing this myself. So, we commit this to the Lord. Is the increase of himself in his body in our assembly in Jesus' name.